Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I mean, football is football. I mean, I was just so excited to be out there because if I was in college, I probably would have been done with spring already. You know, I was super excited to be out there, try to fly around, have fun, and motivate my teammates, push my teammates, and just keep continuing to get better.
I already know his voice. If we played that game that you play with Shopin the Bulldog, like guess the Sabres guy voice, I already know Kyer Elam's voice for the Bills.
That's pretty good.
After a couple of press conferences. That was Kyer Elam. They had Bills at rookie minicamp last weekend. You can find the coverage over at our website, WGR550.com. A guy that was out there and knows all about the Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk with him and what's going on in Rochester with the Rochester Americans as a sports anchor and reporter over at 13 Wham in Rochester. And he is Dan Fates, and he joins us in the West Her Hotline. Dan, what's up, buddy? It's Sal and Joe here today in Buffalo.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So
Dan, are you becoming known now for the hoodie and suit combo here? Because what was it, yesterday with the maroon suit and the white hoodie?
Yeah, I've been doing it. Like, I did not pioneer this by any means. I'm not trying to say I was a trendsetter by any means. I think it started more last year, and it was also because, Mike Catalano, my sports director, has talked to multiple people at ESPN, which is where I kind of picked it up from, because Dan Orlovsky was the first one to kind of rock it on air.
Okay.
And I always thought
it
was a cool look.
Okay.
I thought it was a casual business look. And again, in the day of COVID, look, college basketball coaches went away from wearing suits and they're now more polos. Everything's a little bit more casual. So I think a sport coat makes it look like I can at least be on air still, while the hoodie makes it seem like I'm not too stuck up and it's just a little bit laid back.
I like it. It works for the rink too, right? Because it can get chilly in there.
Great. It's great for the rink. I think that's perfect. You take a sport coat off, I can still move around. I'm not cold. I don't need to wear a coat or anything like that. So it's a kind of a twofer.
Wow.
I kind of want to try this now, especially now that Dan's admitting like he picked it up from somewhere else and didn't just create it on his own. I kind of want to pioneer this myself.
Okay, I'm a big fan of thin hoodies. Is that a thin or a thick hoodie under there?
They're thin ones. So the ones that I like are the Lululemon ones.
Okay.
Nice, oh, yeah.
Thin. You know, it's funny. I remember I did it up at the NFL Combine, and Brandon Bean had a hoodie on, too, and I just looked at him. I was like, is that a Lululemon hoodie? He's like, yeah. And I was like, of course it is. Granted, his is team issued with Bill's logo on it. I'm sure those are just for the team, but it's nice, light, not too heavy, but you don't need anything else. So,
and then real quick, do you have like certain specific color combinations like you can't go with or you have to go with or anything, or you just kind of mix and match whatever look that day?
I got a couple mix and matches. The white the white hoodie works well with, you know, a navy sport coat or the maroon sport coat or even a little pattern one. Solid color hoodies, and then you can go a little bit more of the pattern with the sport coat.
You can see what we're talking about if you go to Dan's Twitter page. He is at Dan Fates. That's Dan, F-E-T-E-S, and he is with 13 Wham in Rochester. He's covering the Rochester Americans, and his video, a little bit down on his Twitter page, from last night after the game, and of course, the Rochester Americans now leading the Utica Comets. The Comets, right? Utica Comets.
Yes.
2-1 in their series. All right, so tell us about the Byron, man. What was it like inside that building, especially when Roots Alliance scores the OT winner?
Yeah, Sal, like I grew up in Rochester, and I grew up a hockey fan playing hockey. So, like, I remember it was a shock when the Amherst didn't go deep in the Calder Cup playoffs. That's just what it was. But that was the first sellout crowd at the Blue Cross Arena since Game 3 of the Calder Cup Finals in 2000, 22 years since there had been a sellout crowd for a playoff game. That's how long it has been. And it was just the perfect storm, I think. It was the Amherst playing well. The buzz off the Sabres, the way they've ended the season. There is an excitement around here, and this team has won heading into Sunday's game. They had won three games already in overtime. It was a game three. It was 2-2 series. It was perfect weather outside. They had shut down the city streets around the rink, and they had, you know, the beers outside and the inflatables and face painting for the kids. It really was just a perfect storm. And then you just got a great hockey game on top of it, because Utica is the, you know, the number one team in the North Division. They have now played each other, Rochester and Utica, this year 14 times. Rochester is 7-6-1 against them. Every single game has been close this series. It has just kind of been an electric atmosphere. And when, you know, Arturi Ruotsalainen scores the goal early in the first overtime on the man advantage, it was just Mike Catalano was there with me. He wasn't working. He just wanted to be there. The crowd was in on every single icing, every single non-call, every call. It was a really cool atmosphere for a hockey game.
Yeah, Jeremy might be going tonight, he said. I'm hoping they reach a next round just to, like, see what that atmosphere is like. How much of that is the team, too? And, like, the fact that it's Sabres prospects that are kind of the leaders. Because they've been good. They've had good teams over the years where it's, you know, at least here in Buffalo, guys that aren't super intriguing because they're more betweeners, like call-up guys, right, older. Whereas Paterka and Quinn, like, I have to imagine that's driving a lot of the intrigue.
100%. And we've asked them about this. And I was talking to Seth Appert about it yesterday, and he said they've had good teams before, like you said. They have struggled in the postseason. This is kind of the weird thing. Heading into this postseason, the Amherst hadn't won a playoff game since 2014.
Amazing.
They had gotten swept in like four straight series, and they hadn't won a playoff series since 2004. So it had been a while since there had been postseason success. Now, granted, these guys, I asked, you know, Jack Quinn what he was doing in 2004, and he said he was 3 years old, and I said, so you had no impact on the series? And he's like, no, sorry, I forgot to watch it. Like, this is how young this team is. And Appert said it's part of that buzz, and because they're younger guys, and because of the way the Sabres ended the season, fans in Buffalo can kind of start to get excited and kind of latch onto this team, because you're right, these are guys that should be coming up to Buffalo, will make an impact with the Sabres. Obviously, you had Peyton Krebs and Fitzgerald are already down here and playing really well. Krebs had just an amazing assist on the game-winning goal.
What a pass.
In overtime. Yeah. Unbelievable. And then you obviously have Quinn and Paterka, guys that are top players that are expected to be it. So there is this perfect cocktail with the way the Sabres finished this season, the way the Amherst kind of lucked into the postseason. They needed a win from another team to get in. They needed Belleville to win a game on the final day of the regular season. That happened. They had a win in regulation. That's how they got in. They then win two games in overtime against Belleville to win the play-in series, and now they're up 2-1 against the top seed in their division. So it's kind of a perfect cocktail where this buzz is just kind of going around.
Tell us about the goaltending situation, where that stands right now.
Yeah, so right now it's Aaron Dell. We keep asking Seth Appert about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he's kind of been the guy that obviously he's top Sabres goalie prospect. But Aaron Dell is an interesting case, because I'm sure a lot of Sabres fans that are listening now going, that guy? Like Aaron Dell?
Right.
But Aaron Dell's actually been really good for the Amherst. And Appert has defended him, saying that when he was up in Buffalo, the defense wasn't playing great and that he didn't have the best team in front of him. But since he's been down in Rochester, he's really been pretty solid. He's made a couple of huge saves in overtime. And it's funny, he kind of gives a little bit of that vibes of, he makes the really hard saves look easy, and then he lets in the really easy shots and makes them look hard. And so it's been a little bit of a rush, and you're kind of on the edge of your seat watching Aaron Dell. But, hey, he's won four games so far this postseason, all in overtime. The Amherst have played five postseason games. They've won all four of them in overtime. They've won all four by a final score of 4-3. So it's pretty crazy.
You know, I don't know. I think a lot of Sabres fans might realize this, but maybe many don't. Behind the bench, besides Seth Appert, you got Michael Pekka and you got Mike Weber. I mean, like, two guys who played for this organization for a long time. And, of course, Michael Pekka had a lot of playoff success. Not as much Mike Weber, but he played for, like, 7 years here in Buffalo, I think it was, something like that. But, boy, you got a lot of tie-ins to this big parent club and a lot of experience back there in names that people know.
Yeah, I sat down with Michael Pekka earlier this year. Like I grew up watching Michael Penix.
Right.
It was one of those interviews where I sat down with him and I was a little bit starstruck. Like I was like this growing up as a kid when the Sabres were good in 99 in those years, that's when I was like forming my hockey passion and he was the captain of those teams and right. to sit down next to him and he is, it's very, he doesn't want to talk about his success. And he goes, I don't want players to listen to me because of what I did in my playing career. I want these players to do good for themselves and find their own success and know that I care about them. He was a guy that was with the Buffalo Junior Sabres. He's coached junior hockey. He's kind of worked his way up. He doesn't know if he wants to be a head coach someday, but he's really enjoying this age group and these young guys. And Mike Weber is the same way. I mean, you have two guys that have tons of experience. And then Seth Appert, who's a guy that came up through the coaching ranks of the RPI in college and the U.S. national team and all those things. These are guys that know how to develop. And while they understand the ultimate goal is to have these players succeed, they also want to win down here in Rochester and kind of build some of this, you know, success that these players can now carry on and, you know, not just be in the Amherst, kind of getting their butts kicked, losing all the time in Rochester, and then going into Buffalo. They really kind of want to build this winning tradition from the ground up, and you know, Michael Pekka knows how to win.
The Sabres signed their second-round pick from this past draft, 2021, Alexander Kisikov, who had played all year in Russia, and that was like kind of surprising. Everyone's like, oh, really, this early? Like we were thinking maybe more next year or even the year after. Is he in Rochester, and would he play these playoffs, or do you think he's just there, or he's just under contract for next season for the Amherst?
I believe he's under contract for next season. I haven't seen him. Or really, nobody's really brought it up around here. I know that was a surprising sign. And I also have to double-check about the AHL because it changed because of COVID, but normally guys that were under 19 couldn't play in the AHL. So
right.
I'm trying to figure out how that worked out as well with the COVID years and how things have changed around. But he is not here as far as I know.
Okay.
All right, so real quick to end up this part, and then we'll transition to the Bills, just the series in general. Where do they go from here? What happens? It's a best of five, and the Amherst have a chance to close this thing out.
Yeah, I was texting the PR guy after the game on Sunday. I'm driving home, and I'm just saying, like, that was just an awesome game. Like, just an electric atmosphere. And he kind of just texted me back right away and said, we're winning Tuesday. Like, this team just kind of has this buzz around them. And I talked about it earlier this postseason when I talked about their postseason struggles. None of these guys have anything to do with it. Like, it's kind of a dumb history to say, well, the Amherst hadn't won a game since 2014, and these guys had nothing to do with it. But they're also almost so young and naive to their advantage. Like I talked about Krebs, Quinn, and Paterka. They're, you know, three out of their top five best forwards. None of them can grow a playoff beard. It doesn't even matter. Like they couldn't grow a playoff beard if they tried. So this team is kind of just riding this wave of excitement, of kind of happy-go-lucky. Like we got in, let's make some noise, let's see what we can do. And then when you start to win some of these games in overtime, you just start to build this confidence. The first game of the playoffs, they were down 3-0 to Belleville heading into the third period, scored three goals to tie it, and then won it in overtime. This team thinks they can beat anybody. So they have a big opportunity here to close it out in Rochester. If not, game five, if necessary, will be in Utica. But look, this team is just starting to build something. Peyton Krebs leads the American Hockey League Calder Cup playoffs with 8 assists. You have guys like Paterka who scored 4 goals in the last 2 games. Arturo Stalin has got 6 goals this postseason. So this is just a team that just kind of starts to feel this vibe and maybe a little bit of a magical run. But again, you still got to close out Utica, who's the top team. And none of these games have really been blowouts. They've all been really close or tied going into the third period. So Seth Appert knows you really can't let your foot off the gas here.
Dan Fates from Rochester 13 WAM joining us on the West Her Hotline. Well, I know you don't want this run to end, neither do we, but we also kind of can't wait for football season to start, Dan, because there's a lot of excitement about the Buffalo Bills, the opener in L.A. What'd you think about the schedule when it came out in the Bills getting so much love for prime time and all these different kinds of nights and days that they're going to be on?
Yeah, it'll be interesting, right, Sal? I mean, our weeks won't be normal for quite some time, especially to start it. There's a lot of Thursday games. We'll be able to spend some Sundays actually watching other teams. And the days of the Sunday 1 o'clock games are kind of a thing of the past. To me, the interesting thing is 3 of 4 to start at home and then 3 of 5 to close the season at home. So I think those are the two things that stand out to me. The one thing I always look at right away is do they ever have 3 games in a row on the road? Because I always find that to be just a brutal stretch. But the Bills schedule, the way it worked out is really pretty balanced. They don't really have – they never play more than two games at home or more than two games on the road in a row. So it's – I thought it was fair. And look, this team – I was listening to the broadcast official or the head of broadcasting, something like that for the NFL, and he talked about how every game with all the network partners they have, every game is an asset.
That's Mike – yeah, Mike North. Mike North, who I've had on my podcast many times. That's right.
Yes, he was great. And he talked about how he talked about how the schedule actually had to be redone because when they started working on it, the Bucs didn't have Tom Brady because he retired.
Yep.
And then he came back and they had to change the schedule because obviously games that have more – when Tom Brady's playing, it's more of an asset.
That's right.
And I find that fascinating to now know that Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, is an asset to the national audience. We see what he's going to do when he's on the match on June 1st. He's really kind of ascending into that superstardom, that Aaron Rodgers aura, that everything he does is newsworthy. And when you get like that, like you're going to get primetime games. And I thought Sean McDermott was great about it because I think somebody was at the press conference for rookie minicamp, Sal, and asked, you know, how do you convey this to rookies, younger team, you know, younger players on your team? Like, you're going to be playing a lot of primetime games. And the first words out of Sean McDermott's mouth were, well, Josh Allen's been in them. Josh Allen's been in them, and Josh Allen has succeeded in them. And that's the really cool thing. Because I remember a few years ago, I remember talking to Brian Baldinger, and he said the Cowboys win on Thanksgiving could be a franchise-changing win in the sense of you are in the national spotlight, and you put a beating on America's team with everybody watching. And I feel like those games can start to propel you. And when you're in the national spotlight, and when us in the media are talking about, oh, primetime, big game, all these things, they can look back and say, yeah, we've been in it, and we've won it. I remember when they clinched the postseason in 2019 in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Like, those are big games that they've gone into. And it's nice to now see that they're going to get some more primetime games at home because I feel like a lot of them have been on the road in the past few years.
Do you – as a TV person in Rochester, albeit even, you know, an hour away from Buffalo, excuse me, like, professionally, what do you think about that? Like, all the different games that, you know, deadlines and video and editing and late nights and drives and all that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. selfishly, we love 1 o'clock starts.
Right.
It's easy to go live at 6 o'clock. It's easy to have everything taped. And it was funny. Mike Catalan has good friends in the Boston, you know, with New England and stuff like that. And they've always thought it was crazy how many 1 o'clock games they have. Like, what is your schedule like? Like, now we have to wait around all day. It's juggling schedules. Because, look, how many 1 o'clock games did New England play a year? A couple? Like, the Bills had 15 of them. And so it's a different schedule for us, especially when they have the night games. We can't show any highlights. We have a 10 o'clock show on Fox, and then we have, obviously, an 11 o'clock show on ABC. Can't show any highlights, so you're kind of doing stuff for the web. As well as for the next morning. But that's why, you know, for us, the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel has kind of been a big thing for us. Kind of podcasts, videos, vlogs, everything. That's real quick because, I mean, Sal, our market isn't necessarily the people that always watch the 6, 10, and 11 newscast.
That's right.
It's people want information fast. We got to get stuff up on Twitter. You got to get stuff up on YouTube.
Yep.
And that's where our job has really changed.
St. John Fisher. Training camp back this year. That's got to be exciting for you guys.
Cannot wait. Listen, it was great to just be back in person at training camp last year with some fans and that kind of thing. But it'll be great to be back in the backyard. This community loves having the Bills here.
Yep.
It really kind of drives the summer. It really is. And especially for 20 years when since they came here from Fredonia, they didn't really get anything. Like, I mean, who are the quarterbacks? Fitzpatrick, you had McCoy for a little bit, you know, but, like, they never really were an elite-level team. And then all of a sudden, the Bills take that step to an elite-caliber team in 2020 when there's no fans, and then last year as well. And it'll be great to just see this place go absolutely bonkers when Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Von Miller and legit superstars are right here, as well as just some guys. I always think about Tim Settle and just how much of a fan favorite that guy's going to be at Fisher. And to get up close and personal with these players is going to be really special. And I know for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, it's important for them to keep this fan base in their mind and to satisfy them. And this is a community that really wants it. You walk around here. I know it's not Buffalo. I get that. but still all the talk around Rochester is always Bills. It's what leads our sportscast. It's what leads all of our coverage. You know, I always think about when what do you cover? And, yeah, high school sports are important. And, yes, the Amherst, and this run is great. But I always think about, like, when I go get stopped at a grocery store or something like that, they're asking about the Bills. They're asking, you know, that's the number one thing. So to have them back here, to get the fans, to get up close and personal with this Super Bowl-caliber team is well-deserving after two decades of, let's say, less-than-caliber Super Bowl-caliber teams.
Hey, can your Braves start playing a little better to catch the Mets so I don't have to hear Howard talk about the Mets anymore?
Please.
As much.
They were so bad last night, Sal. I'm sitting there next to my wife, and she goes, can you stop? I go, I have never seen a team swing and miss so much before in my entire life. They have struck out 45 times over the last three games.
Wow.
They need to start playing better. They haven't had Acuna. He's now got a groin injury. Eddie Rosario, who was the NLCS MVP of last year, he now has a retina problem. He's out 6 weeks. We've just had a lot of issues. We're just not playing good baseball, Sal. And
yeah.
my hope is that the Mets will start playing like the Mets that we're used to.
Well, look, you do have that World Series now in your back pocket, which was incredible to go through, I'm sure. And I remember when Syracuse won the title in 03, and I was out there in New Orleans, and I remember going through 87. I went through 96. And then finally, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, next few years, who cares what they do? But once you get back into the season, you're like, come on, what are we doing? We're supposed to be the defending champs here.
100%. I looked down as I'm disappointed in the Braves last night losing 1-0, and I go, still wearing a World Series shirt right now, and I'm still drinking a glass of bourbon out of a World Series championship rocks glass. So I go, I don't want to, like, settle, but I'd like them to start playing better. But, yeah, last year is something I will never, ever forget.
I can't blame you, buddy. All right, Dan. Thanks, man. This was really fun. I'm glad we did it. Let's do it again sometime. We'll catch up. If not, anytime in the next couple months, we'll definitely see each other at training camp and do it then.
Absolutely. Great to see you guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. That is Dan Fates out in Rochester. He was over with Mike Catalana and Jenna Cottrell, and they're at 13 Wham in Rochester. So good job there. And, yes, he has his World Series now. He's a big, big, big-time Atlanta Braves fan. He was enjoying that very much when that happened.
Did you see the Reds threw a no-hitter the other day but lost? Speaking of baseball?
You know, I didn't see it, but I heard someone talking about something about this. Now it makes sense. I didn't know what the person was talking about.
They threw a no-hitter, but I guess it's not officially a no-hitter because they didn't pitch in the bottom of the ninth. So it was only eight innings because they lost the game.
Oh, my God. Really?
The Pirates beat them 1-0. They threw four walks. I think in the eighth inning, it was four walks. The Pirates scored a run. They won 1-0 without winning a run. What's more impressive? Throwing a no-hitter and losing, or not getting a hit and winning the baseball game? I mean, both are pretty impressive. But they, I guess, don't officially qualify as a no-hitter, even though there were no hits.
I think if you throw, like, a rain-shortened, like, six-inning no-hitter, like, there it does go somewhere where you put, like, an asterisk. So maybe this is the case, right? Same thing?
I guess.
I think. That's crazy.
You don't. It's not like you celebrate it anyway.
No, right? No, they're not running on the field. They can't
right?
Do that.
You can't run on the field. There won't be like a special bobblehead night in the future about the time they threw a no hitter.
There's probably some sort of secret celebration going on later, right? These guys like, okay, hey, we threw a no hitter. Let's enjoy this for a second, right?
Yeah, but you lost 1-0.
Oh my God!
To the Pirates.
Oh, yes.
By the way.
Oh yeah, that's right. Not a good baseball team either. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back here in the Extra Point Show, and we'll remind you again what's going on today in Buffalo. The president's in town, and I have a little trivia for Joe when we come back in WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So Crosby has 3 years left on his contract. I've heard that Malkin and the team discussed tying his contract into the end of Crosby's term. But I just heard they couldn't get to the same ground. They just weren't able to get to the number. When it came to Letang, I just heard that philosophically they were not in the same spot. The Penguins have made it very clear that they want to improve their cap situation. And I think if all of those players were initially going where they wanted at the beginning anyway, I don't think the Penguins saw it as a path that was going to work for them.
Elliot Friedman, why do you say it about that?
I mean, it's just... So I'll read what Andrew Filippone tweeted yesterday, former here WGR 93.7 The Fan of Pittsburgh. Rob Rossi of The Athletic said on their show yesterday, the Penguins offered Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin three-year deals worth $15 million total, $5 million per year, and that those low-ball offers did not sit well with Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
Rossi said this morning, at this point, he would not expect Malkin, Letang, or Brian Rust to be back with the Penguins next season.
He's not saying all three. He's saying any of them.
He's phrasing it as though he does not believe any of the three will be back next year. And that, I mean, we've talked about should Toronto blow it up? This isn't making making a conscious decision to blow it up. You're not trading these guys, but this is like when the Sabres rumored to offer Briere one year, $5 million.
Right.
You're not really making an offer if you're offering 3 years, $15 million.
You're kind of making it so you can do a PR thing after you go, well, you know, we tried.
The Titans did this, right?
Right.
The Titans reportedly offered AJ Brown $16 million a year, which is less than Robert Woods is getting. And they're like, oh, we tried to sign him. No, you didn't. You just want to be able to say you tried to sign him.
100%.
That's what it looks like the Penguins are doing right now.
Wow. And didn't Filippone also say that Rob Rossi said that Sidney Crosby was cleared to play game six? He wanted to play, but the organization, the team said no. Is that how I read that?
That's how he said it, or that's how it was written.
Okay.
That was fishy.
Okay.
Suddenly he has a concussion and then suddenly he doesn't right before game seven. And now he never had one. He tested negative.
Gotcha.
I don't know. I think there was some wink, wink, nod, nod. Like maybe, okay. Like he was allowed to play game seven when he shouldn't have been. And now the story is.
So maybe that's right.
We had to phrase it as, well, he could have played game six.
They
kind of
have to unwind
careful.
It a little bit there. Right. They have to go the other way to make it not look one way.
If he didn't have a concussion,
why
you were
going
to hold him out in game six?
It doesn't make sense to me.
I think what might have very well happened is he did have a concussion. You had to hold him back from game six because of that. Game seven, you let him do it. Or maybe you could have taken precautions for game seven. You chose not to do it then. Because maybe in the back of your mind, you knew what you were planning with Malkin and Letang in the offseason and Rust.
Right.
And you thought, this is it. This is it. Wow. We got to win this game because this is it. This is our last dance.
A lot going on in Pittsburgh. There's no doubt. That's an offseason to monitor. Hey, what'd you think of the firing yesterday? Vegas.
Yeah, he kind of deserved to be fired just for the whole debacle with Robin Lehner about he wanted to get this. I mean, maybe this wasn't all DeBoer. Maybe it was some of the organization, too. But DeBoer was the one that was kind of talking about it and was like seemingly annoyed that Lehner was getting surgery. Lehner had been playing injured on a hurt knee for over a month, reportedly. And he was going to shut it down for the year. And DeBoer like made him back up the next night. He's like, we expect you at practice. So that whole fiasco, it wasn't like a giant thing, story nationally, but...
So Jack Eichel gets traded there. They don't make the playoffs and they fire the coach?
I mean,
it's like he's in Buffalo,
it's a curse.
Still.
It's a curse. Right? This will be his sixth coach in 8 years.
Wow. I'm reading Peter DeBoer's, just reading his bio.
Yeah.
Did you know he is the co-owner of the Oshawa Generals?
No,
of the OHL?
In the OHL?
He's the co-owner.
Cool. Okay.
The Oshawa Generals, the OHL.
Yeah, I did not know that at all.
I didn't know that either. That's wild.
OHL team. Coach.
I know, right? It's kind of weird. All right, so.
I bet Barry Trotz, by the way, real quick. Trotz fits there.
Yes, right? I mean, there's already rumors that that's going to happen. Barry Trotz going there. He was let go. Lane Lambert is now the new coach. He was an assistant for 11 seasons under Barry Trotz. So that's interesting what's going on the island as well. So yesterday, I gave you that amazing stat that I'm still blown away by because I just love that those 80s Oilers teams and how great they were. And I said, look, the top four playoff scorers of all time are still from those 80s Oilers teams, which is incredible. the closest guy to possibly be able to break it after 35 years, and no one's even coming anywhere closer, is Sidney Crosby, who has 201 playoff points. He'd have to get 13 more to tie the top four, Glenn Anderson. Sidney Crosby has 201 playoff points. Joe, he is the leading active playoff scorer in points. How many of the top 10 can you name? Active playoff point getters.
Ooh, all right.
How many of the top 10? Can we fire up some music?
Hockey Night in Canada.
All right, how many of the top 10 active playoff point getters can you name? Sidney Crosby has 201. He leads the way.
Well, Alex Ovechkin is certainly on this list.
He is number three overall at 141. There's a 60-point gap between number one and number three.
I'm guessing number two because even though he's not playing, he's not dressing, Joe Thornton is a Florida Panther.
He is number five, actually. Yes, very good, though.
Oh, wow, I would have thought he's
number
two.
Five. He has 134. You're missing number two at 180 number four at 135.
Real quick, what a backdoor way to get Joe Thornton, for Joe Thornton to get his name on the cup, by the way, if he just doesn't play a playoff game. But he'll raise the cup in, like, shorts for the Panthers.
By the way, he's the oldest on the list. His career started in 97, Joe Thornton, in 1997.
I did trivia with Show Up in the Bulldog a while back. Players still in the league that have played the Sabres in the playoffs, and Thornton was one of the answers.
Wow.
He did it in 99.
Yes.
He played the Sabres in a playoff series in 1999.
With the Bruins, right?
And he's still going.
And yeah, he started in 97. Every other person on this list is post-2000 they started their career, just so you know.
Okay.
Okay? And you said Malkin. He is number two. Okay? Evgeny Malkin's number two. Crosby, Malkin, Ovechkin. You have Thornton at five. You're missing four.
This is all active right
now? All
just,
active right
not
now.
Not just necessarily in the
playoffs. Correct.
All right, how about Nicholas Backstrom?
He is just outside the top 10. He is number 12 at 114 overall.
Okay.
Number four, by the way, is still in the playoffs.
Ooh. Zach, did you hear the way he said that? Still in the playoffs. Like, he's in the playoffs, but
he's playing. I wanted to make sure you knew. I said it slowly so you knew because what you just said. He is still playing in the playoffs, this guy.
Okay, let me run through the teams real quick. Tampa, Corey Perry.
No, but just stay there. Stay there. Not Corey Perry.
Stamkos?
Nope.
Who am I missing?
He had 25 goals this year.
Zach, help me out here. 25 goals.
He only played in 47 games, and he still had 69 points.
Kucherov?
Yes.
Kucherov already is there?
Nikita Kucherov, already the number four active playoff scorer right
now. Number four?
Yes. 135. 135 points.
He might be older than I'm thinking, though, because it took him a couple years to get in. He's 28.
He is
28.
This is incredible, right?
Wow, he might have a shot at that top four to grab one of those Oilers.
I want
to
look at his playoff. Let me look at his playoff seasons. Here are his points. Oh, you know why? The last 2 years, he had 34 and 32,
okay,
respectively.
That'll do it.
My God.
That's 66 right there.
He had 27 assists 2 years ago, 24 assists last year just in the playoffs. All right, you got the top five.
All right,
top 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Yeah, I mean, these guys are known players in the NHL.
Patrice Bergeron.
He is number 7. Yes, he might not be playing next year, but he is right now. He is active. Number 7 is Patrice Bergeron, yes.
So, sticking with the Bruins, I'll go Brad Marchand.
He is just outside. He is number 11. There are no Bruins left.
Okay, and I'm going to guess, Zach, do you think Chara doesn't get there, right? There's not enough points.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
There'd be games played, but there's not enough points.
You're missing a player that is pretty obvious. Actually, kind of two, I think, that are pretty obvious.
Patrick Kane.
Yes, that's it. Yes, Patrick Kane is number 6.
Jonathan Toews.
And Jonathan Toews is number 10, yes. Kane and Toews are 6 and 10. All right. Two very respected, I'd say, let's see, how older players. Boy, what did this guy do this year?
Is Patrick Marleau still hanging around?
No, I like where you're thinking. But this guy had 81 points this year at the age of 37.
Joe Pavelski.
Yes.
He had an amazing year for his
age. He did.
That, by the way, that's where I would guess Evgeny Malkin goes. Dallas just signs the oldest star players they can get their hands on. So, I see Malkin in Dallas. But yeah, Pavelski was great this year.
You're missing one. He's also 37 years old. I think he just retired. He's going to be retiring. This year was his last year, I think. I might mix him up with somebody.
Dustin Brown?
No, but he played with one team his entire career. He's out west. 37 years old. He only played 56 games this year. Yep.
Oh, Ryan Getzlaff?
Yes.
Yeah, he retired. This was it.
That's right. They had a ceremony for him, right? Great job, man, by the way. Crosby, Malkin, Ovechkin, Kucherov, Thornton, Kane, Bergeron, Pavelski, Getzlaf, Toews. After that, I'll just read it to you. Marchand, Backstrom, Corey Perry, Logan Couture, who's a big Bills fan, by the way.
Yep.
Victor Hedman is 15. You have to go to four. You have to, Couture is the cutoff of 100 points. Everybody above Couture is 100 or more playoff points. Below that is below 100. And then you get to Hedman, Letang, Duncan Keith, Jeff Carter, Phil Kessel, and then rounding out the top 20, Zach Parise and Claude Giroux.
I have that list, by the way, I've referenced earlier. Active NHLers that have played the Sabres in a playoff game.
Yes.
I'll just read it because I think it's too long to get there.
Yes, I love it.
Zdeno Chara, for now, he's still going. He's still Islanders 45. Jason Spezza, who did it for Ottawa, currently on the Leafs. Jeff Carter for the Flyers, now on the Penguins. Claude Giroux for the Flyers, now on the Panthers. James Van Riemsdyk on the Panthers, still on the Panthers. Joe Thornton, 99 Bruins,
amazing.
Now he's on the Panthers. Patrice Bergeron did it in 2010. So did Blake Wheeler for the Bruins, now on the Jets. Milan Lucic, of course, for the Bruins, now on the Flames. Sergei Bobrovsky, the only goaltender. He played game one of the Flyers-Sabre series. He was horrible, and he got benched, and he did not get back in, and they went round and round. Also, doesn't really qualify because he hasn't played in a couple of years. He is on the Sabres. If you go to their cap-friendly page, you will see this guy, though. Johnny Boychuk, who is still on.
Yeah.
He's still under contract. He's not really playing, but he also played the Sabres in a playoff game.
Joe,
that's it. That's the end of the list, though. It's getting short.
That's amazing. How about this? I am looking at the top 50 active playoff scorers in points. The top 50 active. I do not think there is a player on this list that had played one game ever for the Buffalo Sabres.
There's not one player?
There's not one player in the top 50 current active playoff scorers that even played one game in a Sabres uniform. Not one.
Active?
Not one for one game. None. There's none. I've gone down this list. I've looked. I'm like, am I missing somebody?
There's got to be
someone here who came here for a game or two back in, I don't know, 2005, right?
There's only four players in the... Well, I guess that could have played for the Sabres. You're saying in a playoff game for the Sabres?
No, at all.
At all.
I'm saying there's nobody in this top 50 list that ever once put on a jersey for the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay, because I was going to say, there's only four guys left in the league that have played a playoff game for the Sabres.
Just really?
Ennis, Gerby, Sakara, and Myers. That's it.
Well, that makes sense.
Who would be number one? O'Reilly, right? For the sake, I mean,
that's right. That would probably be. I have to look up his points, but
he's going
to
be low.
The last guy here is Shea Theodore at 55.
Yeah, he's going to be below that. I bet O'Reilly's the top guy, but yeah, you're probably going to scroll very far.
I mean, literally the top 50 active playoff scorers, none of them ever once suited up in even a single game for the Sabres, even for a cup of coffee at the end of a season or something.
Wow.
That's wild. I mean, it's surprising to me.
No David Legwan hanging around on there anywhere? No.
Unbelievable. Vladimir Tarasenko, 57 points. He's 46th overall. He's tied 46th overall. All right, we'll take
Kucherov.
Time off.
Kucherov is the one thing out of all of this that blew me away the most.
Really, because of how quickly he got there.
Yeah.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap things up on WGR. Hey, one more time before we head on out of here. Don't forget that the president will be speaking at 1 p.m. He's scheduled to speak at the Delvin Grider Community Center, and that will be heard on WBEN, our sister station here at Odyssey. Of course, the Odyssey app, WBEN, you can find that. The 33, Kensington. Do you call it the Kensington or do you call it the 33?
I call it the 33.
See, most people do, right? But in case you call it the Kensington, the traffic around there, in and out, all portions of it, at some point today could be stopped, could be delayed. All that kind of stuff. Just be aware when you're driving around Western New York today that this is going on with the Secret Service around and the president being around.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Little Twitter debate started by NFL Draft Diamonds on Twitter.
Okay. I know Damon.
Is Antonio Brown a Hall of Famer?
Oh, wow.
So
I got to look at his numbers.
Nate Geary immediately jumped in with no. I've been going back and forth with yards per pass on Twitter trying to figure out like whether or not this is like if he's a guy for this. His resume, like, he's there. 2010 All-Decades team, 4-time All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler. In a 6-year stretch from 2013 to 2018, Brown has the most receptions in the NFL. Most of these are over Julio Jones. Julio Jones is second for most of these. Most receptions by 121 in that 6-year stretch. Most yards by 571. The most touchdowns by 20. But, Sal, we know how this works. I mean, why didn't T.O. get in right away? Because they don't only look at the numbers.
Is his resume worthiness of Hall of Fame? Probably. Is he going to get in? Probably not. I think that's the way you look at this, right? Here are who he's compared to, his comparable people on Pro Football Reference, all right?
Like the Hall of Fame monitor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. Or, like, it's like similar career, too.
Approximate value.
This is similar career, too.
Okay.
Three of them are Hall of Famers. Calvin Johnson, Lance Allworth, and Bob Hayes. He's also Rod Smith, Sterling Sharp, Roddy White, Chad Johnson, right. Herman Moore. So, Julio Jones, he's right there.
Is he so good? Was he so good on the field that it will overcome all the other baggage?
No.
You don't think so?
But I think what you just said, that the resume, he probably should be in. But I don't think that he gets in because of it's a human vote.
Right.
And they won't do that.
So Pro Football Reference, again, this doesn't really factor in the human element
right.
of it. On their Hall of Fame monitor,
yeah.
104.4, 14th among wide receivers all time.
Lots of guys below him are in the Hall of Fame, right?
He's above, yeah, Paul Warfield, Isaac Bruce,
yes.
Michael Irvin,
wow.
Art Monk, Charlie Joyner, Don Maynard, Calvin Johnson, Andre Reed, yeah.
Different era, of course, but yeah, that's a really good debate. That's fun. All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 10. Instigators up next here on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.